It is good to see everyone out this morning. I hope that all of you feel well, and I hope that you've come with a desire to open your Bible, open your mind, your heart, and examine what the Word of God has to say. This morning we are going to be examining the text that was read earlier, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. When I say examine it, that's going to be the basis of our lesson this morning. And really, I want to focus on something that Morris, as he led these last two songs, those songs emphasized the subject matter. Personal responsibility. Let your light shine. I want to be a worker for the Lord. Both of those songs had a lot to do with what we're going to be discussing this morning. I hope that we all take the lesson in the spirit in which it is given. I want to encourage you all to think seriously about your own efforts in serving the Lord. I want you to think seriously about whether or not what you are doing is in fact indeed pleasing to God. Now, that should be our main desire in life, to make sure that we're pleasing God, we're doing what God wants us to do. And so, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." And he also says in verse 14, this is the emphasis, "You are the light of the world." Now, you don't have that light in yourself. What you do is you reflect the light of God. You reflect the light of Jesus Christ. That goes through you or reflects through you. You reflect God's light. As we imitate God, as we please God and serve God, are faithful to God, we then reflect God's light to a dark, lost world. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Your responsibility is to let that light shine through you. That is your responsibility. It's not your mate's responsibility. It's not your parents' responsibility, young people. It's not anybody else's responsibility. It's not the elder's responsibility. It's not the preacher's responsibility. It's your responsibility to let your light shine. Nobody can do this but you. Let your light shine before men. You know, when it comes to the various aspects of our lives, whether it be during the week as we're at work, we're among our fellow employees. Or maybe we are with some friends having a good time after work. Maybe we are out enjoying something. Let's say that we are at a ball game, whether it be a high school football game in the community or wherever it may be. How do your friends, how do those that you work with, how do those people that you spend time with who are not members of the church, how do they look at you? How do they perceive you? Do they perceive you as a godly person? Someone who stands up for what is right, and someone who exhibits godly behavior in all aspects of your life? No, that's your responsibility. And no one can do that but you. That cannot be substituted for. Now, when it comes to our responsibility, when it comes to obeying the gospel, for example, you know, I cannot obey the gospel for anybody else, can I? I cannot become a Christian for anybody else. I cannot become born of God, you know, for anybody else. This is an individual responsibility. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never obeyed the gospel. Or maybe you did obey the gospel, but you did it for somebody else. Maybe you did it for the wrong reasons. Maybe you did it because it was something someone else wanted you to do. Well, listen, we should be doing this for our own benefit, to please God, to serve God, to become a child of God. That's why we should become a Christian. In becoming a Christian, in John 3 and verse 5, as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, as he came to him by night, Jesus said, "Ye must be born again. Except a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again." That's an individual responsibility. You must be born again. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, "Seeing then that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, seeing that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which lives and abides forever." You know, you think about what Peter wrote there. "Seeing then that you have purified your souls by obeying the truth." Listen, you didn't purify somebody else's soul when you obeyed the truth. You know, the Mormon doctrine of being baptized for the dead, and they get that from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That passage isn't talking about being baptized for somebody else. It's talking about being baptized in view of death, and in fact, in the death of Christ who died for us, and the fact that He has been raised from the dead. That whole chapter is dealing with the resurrection. And it's dealing with the resurrection of Christ first, and the fact that since He has been raised from the dead, we too will be raised from the dead, if we have died with Him. But if we were baptized for somebody that had not been raised, what good is that going to do? And that's Paul's point. You cannot be baptized for somebody else. You cannot be born again for somebody else. You cannot purify your soul for somebody else, or their souls for them. You can't do that. In John 6 and verse 45, Jesus says that no man can come to me except the Father who sent me draws him. Verse 45, Jesus then goes on to say, "They shall all be taught of God, and everyone who has heard and learned comes to me." Everyone who has heard and learned. That's an individual responsibility, to hear the truth and to go to Jesus. No one else can go to Jesus for you. No one else can learn for you. You have to do that yourself. No one can go to Jesus Christ for you. Only you can do that. In Mark 16, in verse 16, Jesus says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." You know, if I believe but you don't, it doesn't matter how strong my faith is, I can't believe for you. And I cannot be baptized for you. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Individual responsibility. You can't pass the buck on this. "Repent and let every one of you be baptized." Acts 2 and verse 38. Acts 22 and verse 16. This passage, repent, the idea is that every person is to repent. All are to repent. And then each and every individual is to be baptized. "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias came to Saul of Tarsus, who had seen Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and he was blind. And Ananias said to Saul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." You see, Ananias could not obey the gospel for Saul. No one could do for Saul what Saul could only do for himself, and that is obey the gospel. "Let every one of you be baptized." That's an individual responsibility. You have to obey it. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 47 and 48, the household of Cornelius, as Peter is preaching the gospel there, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It was a requirement. It's something they had to do in order to obey the Lord Jesus. Repent and let every one of you be baptized. Peter said the same thing in Acts 2:38, didn't he? It's in the form of a command, instruction. No one can obey God for you. You have to obey God yourself. In Romans chapter 6, in verses 16 through 17, we are the servants to whomsoever we yield ourselves servants to obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But you, Paul here is saying, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Obey from the heart. That's what each individual must do. I cannot do that for you. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, Paul there says, know ye not that as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death? Now, when you think about this, you look at that expression, as many of you as. What that means is no more and no less. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death. What Paul is saying is no more and no less. In other words, if you have been baptized into Christ, you have been baptized into His death. If you have not been baptized into Christ, you have not been baptized into His death. That's what Paul's saying. In Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27, Paul says there, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Certainly, faith is there. I can't believe for you. You have to believe in Jesus Christ yourself. You have to believe God yourself. Except you believe, you shall all die in your sins. John 8:24. But Paul, going back to Galatians 3:26, for ye are all the sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Again, as many of you as have been. No more and no less. This is an individual responsibility. You have to obey the gospel yourself. You have to believe. I can't believe for you. You have to repent. I can't repent for you. Nobody else can do that either. And you have to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, like the Ethiopian eunuch did. You cannot confess Him for someone else. You have to confess Him, and you can only confess Him for yourself. And be baptized. It's a command for you to obey. In order to receive the blessings of the new covenant, you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nobody else can do that for you. So, in becoming a Christian, we see individual responsibility. Very important. Your light, your work. You cannot let your light shine before men if you are not in Christ, if you are not serving Christ. Can't serve Christ, though, until you're in Him. And how do you get in Him? You're baptized into Him by faith. All right. In remaining faithful, you know, you can't be faithful to the Lord for me. There's not a person in here that can do that. I can't be faithful for you. I can do my best to encourage you, to teach you, and you can do your best to encourage me and teach me. We can help one another. We can support one another. But we cannot remain faithful for one another. That's an individual responsibility. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, on an email list that I'm on this past week, I think I mentioned this Wednesday night. Well, I know I did. There were some preachers arguing over whether or not we should use the expression "save yourself." And I clearly understand. We do not have the means to provide salvation for ourselves. Salvation is not of us. It does not come from us. Salvation only comes from God. The grace of God is extended to every man, Titus 2, verse 11 and 12. God has extended His grace for all of us. But we must accept it. We must accept it God's way. There is a sense in which we save ourselves in that we respond to God's instruction, both in becoming a Christian as well as in remaining a Christian. We have to respond to God's instruction. By the way, you go back to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that we are to live godly, righteously, and holy in this present life. So the grace of God teaches us how to live. We must respond to that grace. And as Paul says in Philippians 2 and verse 12, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Whose responsibility is it to make sure you get to heaven? Now, you can have help along the way. Your mate can help you along the way. Your parents can help you along the way. Your children can help you along the way. Your friends can help you along the way. Of course, your brethren should help you along the way. But listen, ultimately, it boils down to me being faithful. Me working out my own salvation in fear and trembling. I have a responsibility there. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, let everyone depart from iniquity. We have the responsibility to cleanse ourselves from all unrighteousness. We have the responsibility to purify our souls in obeying the truth and then remaining pure, keeping ourselves from being defiled by the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through chapter 7, verse 1. We must come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and don't touch that unclean thing. Oh, we need to depart from iniquity. Look, I can't depart from iniquity for you, and you can't depart iniquity for me. That's a personal responsibility. I need to keep myself pure, and you need to keep yourself pure. We can encourage each other. We can even support one another when we fail, when we fall, when we stumble, when we become filthy because we have engaged in worldly things. Listen, I need my brother to come along and help me up, to strengthen me, to encourage me. Galatians 6 and verse 1, those of you who are strong, that's their responsibility, to help those who are weak. To be diligent. To present yourself approved of God. I cannot present you approved of God for you. I can't do that. That's my responsibility for myself, and that's your responsibility for yourself. The King James Version in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved. Study. Well, the idea there is give diligence. To give all diligence. To put forth a great amount of effort to show yourself approved before God. Rightly dividing the word of truth, he goes on to say. We need to study the word of God and we need to follow it. We need to be diligent to make sure that we are in harmony with what God's word says. We need to give diligence. But I can't do this for you. I can only do this for me. I can encourage you. I can help you. But I can't do it for you. In John 15, verses 1 through 7, John there talks about, as he has concluded the Last Supper, and he's giving his final instructions to his apostles. He says in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now listen, if I'm going to abide in Christ, that is to remain in, to stay in, to live in. If I'm going to abide in Christ, I'm going to have to determine to do that myself. I'm going to have to put forth effort to do that myself. I'm going to have to submit to the Lord in the things that He's instructed. That's how we do that abiding in Christ. You are clean because of the word which I've spoken to you, He says. When we abide in the word that He's spoken, we abide in Him. And if I abide in Him and I bear much fruit, I will be rewarded. But what if I don't? What if I don't abide in His Word? What if I do not continue in His teaching? What will Jesus Christ have done to me? What will be done to me? He goes on in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. That's so, so true. I would be dead in my sins, and so would you if Jesus Christ had not died on the cross. I would be dead in my sins without any hope if Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead. I would be dead in my sins without hope, walking in darkness, if it had not been for His wonderful, gracious Word that He's revealed to us. Without Him, we can do nothing. But in His Word, He's given us instructions that we must obey and instructions that we must live in accordance with. We must abide in Him. And if we don't, we will be cut off and cast into the fire. That's individually. He's not going to cut me off because you messed up. And He's not going to cut you off because I messed up. And He's not going to reward you for my good and my service. And He's not going to reward me for your service. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11, each one of you show the same diligence. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 6, here in Hebrews chapter 4, the same point is made. In verse 11 it says, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We need to be diligent. We need to continue to focus and strive with all of our being to reach the wonderful promises of God. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 4 and verse 11, the same point is made. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So we need to give all diligence. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, Peter there writes, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness charity. And he says, if these things are in you and they abound, they make you that you shall need to be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So each one of you, we need to give all diligence. I can't do this for you, you can't do this for me. Listen, it's all about us individually doing what's necessary for us to grow in Christ. Now, if we're going to remain faithful, if we are in Christ and we're striving to remain faithful, then we need to be members of a local church. And we need to give what the Lord expects of us to that local church, don't we? And listen, I can't do your work for you, and you can't do your work for me in the local church. We will each stand upon our own labor. And our own labor, individual labor, is required, by the way. God expects you to do your work, and He expects me to do mine. Now, we can help each other. We can encourage each other. In fact, we should. We must. We're to strengthen each other. But listen, I must do my work and you must do yours. I think that there has grown, even if it's just subconsciously, over the last 30, 40, 60 years, this clergy-laity mentality in many churches. They hire a preacher to do their work. They expect the elders to do all of their work. They expect the song leader to do all the singing. And they sit there and they let the song leader sing by himself. I've been to congregations where that's about the way it's been. Listen, we need to do, each of us, fulfill our own responsibilities. The one that's leading the prayer. Are we praying with him like we should? Are we singing like we should? You know, God gave authority to His servants. The Lord Jesus gave authority to His servants and to each one His work. Mark 13:34. That's the way it is with us. He's given to each one His work. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, we looked at this passage a couple of Sunday nights ago. Or was it last Sunday night? In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16, we are expected to supply what we can to the local body of believers. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Lord has given gifts to men, it says. And of course, these are functionary gifts, as we talked about. But in verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Every joint. That's every working member. That's our working together. And what we are supplying for the growth of the church. An effective working by which every part does its share. Every single part, every cog, needs to be functioning and working so that the local church can be what it needs to be. We all need to be pitching in and doing what we can. And we do have many wonderful workers here. We sure do. But we need more. We have many people who are giving a lot of themselves and serving others and helping others in the work of this local church, and that it is very much appreciated. But every one of us needs to be doing their part. I need to be doing my part. You need to be doing your part. And I need to be giving all diligence to that, by the way, going back to the previous point. Previous chart. I need to be giving all diligence to do my part. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, in this context, the Apostle Paul is dealing with personal responsibility. He says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. And see, we do have responsibilities to each other too. Here in the local church, listen, we need to bear one another's burdens. We need to support one another. Now, I can't carry your load for you, but I am to help you. I am to help strengthen you and support you while you carry your burden. And he goes on, he says in verse 3, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. We're responsible for ourselves and our service to God. And we will eventually, one day, stand before the Lord and give an account. But we are to each one examine our own work. Now listen, I think that sometimes we spend too much time examining somebody else's work. Well, we look to the person beside us, and to the person behind us, and the person in front of us, and we want to complain about them not doing their work. First of all, it's very likely we don't really know what all they're doing. We really probably don't. We probably don't realize half of the things that they're busy doing. Because most of us, we're kind of people like, you know, as it talks about here, anyone who thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Well, most of us, we're not proud, and we don't want to boast about our works. We don't want to get it out there and let everybody know what we're doing. We just want to go about our business quietly. And that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. So before we begin pointing fingers at somebody else saying they don't do anything, they don't do what they're supposed to do, no, we need to realize they may be doing a lot of things we don't know. What we need to be focused on is not them, not their work, but who? You be focused on me. That's who I need to be focused on. And do my work and encourage others to do theirs. And always try to think the best of others. So, let each one examine his own work. In the assembly, when we come together, you know, we come together as a collective group. And we worship the Lord collectively, together. We assemble together. But in Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25, we are to consider one another and exhort one another. When we come together to provoke one another to love and good works and to consider the other person. No doubt about that. But it is on an individual basis. I need to come together and I need to serve the Lord, worship the Lord. No one in this building can worship God for me. And you can't worship God for anybody else. You can only worship God for yourself. You know this, as we look into the religious world, we see a lot of this really going on, don't we? We have these people who are holy, they present themselves as holy, and they go through these rituals of worship, and they do these things, and people just kind of sit back and observe this going on, and thinking, well, what they're doing this for me. No. Listen, I cannot worship, I can't partake of the Lord's Supper for you. Can't do that. And I can't pray for you. I mean, I can pray for you, but I can't pray for you. You know what I mean. And I can't give for you. And I can't sing for you. You have to do those things yourself. You have to worship God, praise God, pray to God, give to God. Remember what Jesus did for you yourself. Nobody else can do that for you. So, I need to examine myself when I observe the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 25. I need to be able to say amen to the person who's leading prayer. I need to say amen to his prayer. So I need to listen. I need to take part in that prayer individually. I need to listen. And I need to give as I have ability. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2, Acts 11 and verse 29. Each one gave according to his own ability. And when it comes to singing, we are to sing songs of praise to the Lord, speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our heart to the Lord. Now see, I can't do that for you. I can only do that for me. Individual responsibility in our worship. I'm to let my light shine. And that's individual responsibility. My work is my individual responsibility. My worship is my individual responsibility. Now, as we close, here's the place where the rubber meets the road, if you will. I'm going to be accountable to God, not for you. I'm going to be accountable for myself. Now, I'll be accountable for how I treated you, how I encouraged you, how I taught you. A lot of responsibility there. But I am going to be responsible not for you, but for myself. Same thing is true with you. You will be held accountable. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, every one of us, and join this with 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we will all, every single one of us, stand before the Lord, and He is going to judge us. In verse 14 of Romans chapter 14, verse 12 of Romans 14, so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. You go back up to verse 11. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. And then he says, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, for we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things we've done in our bodies, whether it be good or bad. Every one of us, every man, every woman will give an account of themselves to God. And when that day comes, friend, you're not going to be able to pass the buck. You're not going to be able to shift blame, shift responsibility over to somebody else. Well, they didn't teach me. They didn't help me. They didn't encourage me. They were a bad example. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. What difference does that make to you now? Here you are before God on the day of judgment. Okay, all these people didn't live right. Okay, they're going to have to stand before God too. But how does that help you? You didn't live right. How does it help you that they didn't live right? One of the saddest things that I see, people shifting blame here on this earth, they're complaining about what other people aren't doing. And they use that to justify them not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You talk to somebody about not attending services like they should, well, so-and-so, they're a hypocrite. Or so-and-so, they don't attend like they should either. What difference does that make for you? You need to do what God says and stop worrying about what other people do or don't do. You need to get right with God yourself. Because on the day of judgment, you're not going to be able to shift responsibility then. You're going to have to answer to God for what you've done. Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. The whole point of this that Paul is talking about here is there is no partiality with God. Jew or Gentile, it doesn't make any difference. He had condemned the Jews in chapter 1. He gets to chapter 2, and what does he do? He says, therefore you are an excusable old man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge others and others, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. And he goes on down through the context, beginning in verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. He's not going to judge you based on somebody else. And I'll tell you something else. He's not going to judge you based on whether he likes you or not. He's going to judge you based upon how you have served Him in faith, in obedience. No, none of us are perfect. And we'll all stand there. If we were having to stand there before God based upon a perfect life, we'd all fail. We'd all be cast into hell. So I'm glad that's not the basis. But it is the idea that we must by faith serve Him and we will be judged by our works and our sins must be forgiven in the blood of Christ. And we must strive to serve the Lord in faith. In humility. We can't pass the buck. 1 Peter 1:17 and Galatians chapter 6 verses 7 and 8. We will reap what we sow. That is a scary thought. That's a scary thought for me because I know people who are sowing to this world and I know they're going to reap what they are sowing. I know it. It's what God says. You will reap what you sow. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You have that choice and you're responsible for that. On the day of judgment, when you stand there, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31, beginning, there's the great judgment scene. All nations will be gathered before the Lord. And what is going to happen? Jesus is going to have His angels separate the goats from the sheep. The sheep will be placed to the right, the goats to the left. He will separate them one from another. Individually. And those on the right hand, they will be blessed. Because they will have done the things that the Lord had asked them to do. Just read the context. Those on the left did not do what the Lord had asked them to do. That's what it boils down to. They did not believe or trust the Lord. They did not serve the Lord. The people on the right, they believed the Lord, they trusted the Lord, and they served the Lord. And that's how they were separated. Individually. In chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And I will say unto them, depart from me, for I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. Not everyone who says to Jesus, Lord, Lord, but he who does the will of the Father. And another thing, too, on the judgment. The hidden things that I do. The hidden things even that I think. Listen, I'm not going to be judged for your thoughts. And you're not going to be judged for mine. I'm going to be judged for my own thoughts. For my own secret deeds. For hidden things. Nothing will be hidden before Him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4 and verse 13. There is nothing hidden. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Even secret deeds. We'll be judged for those. And again, Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. Romans 2 and verse 16. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And in Revelation 21, verse 7, he who overcomes shall receive the blessings of life. Now, verse 7 there, Revelation 21, there you have the positive side of the coin, if you will. You have those who have served the Lord, been faithful, and even persecuted for the cause of Christ. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Accountability. I'm going to stand before the Lord God on the day of judgment for myself and for myself alone. And so will you. You know, on that day, Jesus Christ being our advocate, our mediator in life. And that day, He's the judge. And if I haven't lived for Him, and if I haven't served Him, then I am going to be held accountable. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because your eternal destiny depends on it. Don't depend on somebody else's light. Don't try to just walk in the light of somebody else. You need to serve God for yourself. And you're going to be judged for your own service to Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight, or this morning, it's not tonight yet. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. You've never by faith been baptized into Christ. As Galatians 3:26 and 27 says. Then you need to do that yourself. And you need to do it because the Lord commanded you to do it. You need to do it because we find in the Scripture that that's the act that puts us into Christ when we do it by faith. We need to repent of our sins. We need to confess our faith in Jesus Christ. And we need to be buried with Christ in baptism. I can't do that for you. I can't make you do that. I can encourage you. I can show you what the Bible says about it, show you what the Lord teaches about it. And then you have to make that decision for yourself. And I hope that you'll make the right one, because one day you will stand before the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning. You are a child of God already. You're serving Him. You have served Him, but maybe you have fallen away. Maybe you have left the Lord. Maybe you're slack in your service. Listen, you're going to be judged still. Paul said, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Listen, we need to be diligent, make our calling and election sure. We need to get diligent about that. We need to realize we're going to stand before the Lord ourselves. And we're going to be judged. And you know what? If the judgment begins with the house of God, where will the sinners and the unrighteous fall? That's what Peter said. Judgment's going to begin with us. And if the righteous are scarcely saved, what about the ungodly? We need to make sure that we're serving the Lord, because one day we will stand before Him ourselves. Maybe you're here this morning and there's something that you need to get right in your life. Well, do it. Don't wait another minute. Commit to it. Resolve to carry it out and serve the Lord like you need to be serving the Lord. Get busy in the local church. Get busy in your faithful service to the Lord. Do what you need to do. If there's anything we can do to help you, won't you come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected for your encouragement.